Praise the Lord. Welcome into our Remnant podcast this Friday evening. God bless you for being here with us. God is he's ramping up things. He's taking things to another level this week. I'm so excited to see what God does in this room tonight. And I pray that by the Spirit of the Lord, that what's in our hearts, God is able to translate into your hearts. Because it's mighty what we're feeling even right now as we're sitting here. So again, it's I'm Pastor Danny Lalayan here at the City on the Hill studio. I've got Benji here, our associate. I've got my wife Julie over here. We've got Nat, our producer, in the room here. One of these days, I'm gonna get a camera right here behind me that sits on our producer so that. I don't know why we have to be on camera and he doesn't. So one of these days we're going to get him on camera too. But praise the Lord, Benji, before we get going, just, let everybody know what's going on here at the City on the Hill over the next, couple of weeks.
All right. Well, our regulars that we've got going on, we still got our regular Sunday 11 a.m. services and our Wednesday night, 7 p.m. services here at the City on the Hill Church in Loganville. We still, every day of the week, have something going on. We've got our Remnant devotions every weeknight at 8 p.m. That also includes the Remnant podcast Friday at 8 p.m. That also includes the Remnant 101 with me on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. You could find us on social media platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and X, where you see all of our online videos. And we also have Spotify and everywhere where you get your podcasts, where you can listen to these podcasts. You can also tell Alexa or Siri to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And over the next several weeks, we are making a march toward Pentecost Sunday. If you want more information, we talk a lot about that during our regular services.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm telling you, we've been in amazement the last couple of days because God is doing, again, you know, when I say God is doing the supernatural, for a lot of people, they say, oh, well, you know, God just kind of just, I just feel okay. I know that everything's okay. And they say, well, that's the supernatural. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, God is doing things that man cannot do. He's doing things that
one second
the devil doing something, and the next second he had cut it off and had brought complete deliverance. I don't want to really get into it right now, but I encourage you to be here or watch us Sunday mornings. We've got a list of miracles that we're going to be talking about during our Sunday service, and we're going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because God's doing huge things, huge healings, huge healings, big things. He's starting to do things immediately in people's lives. So watch or be here Sunday morning. Listen, I encourage you to come here. You need healing, God wants you to be here so that you can receive that healing and see the true miracle power of God in your life.
Healing that's only available through the supernatural power.
Praise God. Right. Praise the Lord. Well, I know today, you know, we always have people that maybe they're not fully a part of what we're doing here, or they're still don't have a full understanding of everything that God is speaking and doing in this place. Maybe they haven't read my book, Calling the Remnant, but they have questions. They say, you know, you say this or you say that, and they want to have, you know, we get it from, sometimes we get the same question over and over and over again. So I'm going to have them ask a couple of questions today, and we're going to try to, certainly we can't get into every last little bit of information, but we're going to try to shed a little bit more light on some of the things that people have been asking about some of the things that we preach and we say and how we minister, and they're good questions. And so I'm going to have them ask, and then we're going to discuss it a little bit. We'll see if the Holy Spirit can bring a little bit more light into people's lives as to how and why God is doing things the way he is here at the City on the Hill. Praise the Lord.
All right. We'll start with This question is something that you've been saying a lot recently, and you even brought it up, I believe, during the last service. When you say everything or nothing, like, what does that mean? What's the significance of that?
Well, let me say this first. I should have said this before I had you ask the question, but everyone that knows me, and, you know, there's a lot of you watching that know me, you know that I don't plan out things. I don't. So I haven't sat here and made this whole sermon about each of these questions sitting here. And so I want everyone to know that that's not how we do things here. I like the Spirit of the Lord to flow. In fact, before we even got on air, I said to them, I said, listen, I said, I don't know if I'm all here today. I said, my mind's on all these miracles that God is doing. And they're like, well, you better get your mind on it really fast because we've got some questions for you. So anyway, read it one more time.
When you say everything or nothing, what does that mean? What is the significance of that?
Well, I said recently, I think it was Sunday, I said something along the lines of when you're climbing the mountain. That's what we always say here at the City on the Hill. We're climbing the mountain, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Elijah, just like our Lord and Savior. We're climbing the mountain to get to that place that God wants us to be. When you're climbing the mountain, you're either climbing the mountain or you're not. You can't sort of climb the mountain. You can't have your arm climb the mountain. You can't have your foot climb the mountain while the rest of you is eating a cheeseburger on the couch. You're either climbing the mountain or you're not. And the vast majority, you know, I like to use this number, 99.99% of Christians are trying to find a way to serve the Lord while also not have to change other areas of their life. And Jesus said like this, he said, listen, you want to have fruit? He said, the cares of life, the love of other things keeps you from having fruit. He didn't say the sins of life. You see, Christians are saying, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing this. Okay, let's not talk about what you're not doing. Let's say, are you intentionally doing the things that God wants you to do? And if you're not intentionally doing it, then you're not doing everything. You have to intentionally say, God, every part of me is climbing that mountain. Every part of me. I think it was just this week I talked about the biblical idea of loyalty, which is, if you don't understand loyalty according to the Word of God, then you don't understand how the kingdom of God works. And you don't understand how God does things. But the biblical idea of loyalty, if you go read it in the Hebrew language, the actual translation in Hebrew is it means complete or whole or perfect. And the idea is, if you're loyal to God, that means everything is His, everything. Everything. With God, it's all or nothing. If you're going to be blessed in the supernatural, we're talking about the remnant. That's a supernatural people. That's what everything we do here is talking about, the supernatural. It's the supernatural or bust for us. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a supernatural person, a supernatural creature, as I like to say it, you have to have that biblical loyalty. And with God, loyalty means everything. Everything he in the Word of God, it can't be conceived of anything other than God. It's all yours. Everything is yours. Everything. Loyalty means all, everything. And with God, it's all or nothing.
You know, that reminds me of it was a point in a lesson that you had years ago, but it really stuck with me about having a relationship with God. Is your relationship with God compliant or committed? And one of the things he said was, when you're compliant, you do what you're told. But yes, when you're committed, you do whatever it takes.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that when you talk about loyalty and you talk about giving all, it's not just giving all because somebody told you to. It's giving all because you do whatever it takes to reach the supernatural level of a supernatural relationship with God. To whatever it takes, everything means everything. And that's one of the things about everything or nothing that really stuck with me.
That's awesome. I actually forgot that message. Yes.
Well, can you flesh it out a little bit more regarding specifically physical actions that show that everything means everything?
Well, let me take it to the ultimate example.
Because people, a lot of times, they'll say, oh, yeah, everything. Yes, I'm loyal. My heart is so loyal. I'm so loyal to you, Lord. But there has to be physical expressions of that.
Well, let me use two different examples to get to where I want to go. Number one, let me just state the obvious, what James said. He said, faith without works is dead. And if you go and you read that scripture, and again, we don't have time to get into it today. I preached a message. Anyone could go watch just like a month ago about this particular scripture. But if you go read the scripture in James, people think it's talking about giving food to the hungry and taking care of widows. That's not what he's talking about. And again, I don't have time to preach that message. But he's actually talking about, if you follow through in that scripture about faith without works is dead, he's talking about things that Abraham did. He's talking about things, I think it was Rahab did. And the idea is that he was saying is that if you have faith, then you're going to show God that every part of you is committed to following the prophetic revelation that God is uttering. Let me talk about Abraham for a moment. Abraham's life was a process to get to being the one that was the blessed of the Lord. And God walked him through this process to the point that finally God said, okay, Abraham, you've done everything. You've given everything. You've even gone to Melchizedek and surrendered to the anointed man of God. You've done everything. Now there's one thing left. I gave you a son. Now I want your son. Now I want your son. You see, even with Abraham, God said, if you're going to fully be the man that you're supposed to be in the supernatural, you have to show me that you're willing to do and to give everything. Now, again, today, clearly God's not asking anyone to go sacrifice their child. That's not what God is asking, but he is asking us to sacrifice our lives. He is asking us to say, be at the house of the Lord, the anointed house of the Lord. Don't go make a priesthood for yourself in your basement. Don't go make a priesthood for yourself at the breakfast table. No, go to the anointed house of the Lord. Go and give your tithes and offerings at the anointed spot the way Abraham did. And I know that it brings up a whole nother conversation of, well, who gets to determine where the anointing is? Well, I'll tell you who gets to determine is God. God gets to determine it. And I speak on this all the time. So I encourage you to go and listen to some of the messages so you get a better idea of what I mean. But when the Bible talks about, and when we get up and we talk about God requires all, he requires everything, that's a part of it. You can't give God everything until you've at least started by saying, God, I'm going to be at your house. Yes. I'm going to be at your anointed house, not because I'm going because this has a good ministry for my children, not because I'm going because this has a good source of young couples, not because I'm going because
the best music.
No, we're going because your anointing is there. Your anointing is over that place, and we want to surrender to your anointing, the same way Abraham did. Everything means everything. Anything else? We sort of answered a little bit, maybe?
I think, yeah, I think you hit the points.
Praise the Lord. Faith without works is dead. That's not just a bumper sticker. That's a scripture that we're supposed to live by. Faith without works is dead, and works is not feeding the poor.
Right. Right.
That's not feeding.
That was an example.
That is not
just a used.
That is not what works. And people fight tooth and nail to, for some reasons, that has become a bone of contention in Christianity. Well, I show my Christianity. I don't go to the house of the Lord. I show my Christianity by feeding the poor. And that has, that's nowhere is that is. That is such a misunderstanding in the Word of God.
It was really an analogy.
And well, if you go to Jesus, they tried to say, hey, don't use that expensive alabaster box. Don't use that. We can go feed the poor. You know what Jesus said? He said, the poor you have with you always.
Right.
She's doing
right.
this for me. You see, there's a higher level of serving God. Now, let me say this. If you're a Christian and you don't have a heart of compassion to reach out to those in need, then you got to question some things about yourself. But that's not the idea of surrendering all. That's not the idea of being a covenant person with God. That's not being the seed of Abraham. Jesus was talking to the religious leaders. He said, they said, oh, we're the seed of Abraham. We know who we are. And Jesus said, you're not the seed of Abraham. Maybe your bloodline is, he says, but you're not the seed of Abraham. He said, the seed of Abraham does what Abraham did. Yes. He said, that's who the seed of Abraham is. So you can't claim to be the seed of Abraham and have the blessing of the Lord on your life unless you do like Abraham did. And Abraham surrendered everything at the altar of anointing. He gave it all up. He even gave up the opportunity. I've heard people say that they were trying to even make him king of the land because of a battle he won. And he gave it all up because he said, no, I'm going to the altar of anointing and surrendering to Melchizedek. You see, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And we've been living under this prophetic anointing, our heritage. We talked about that last week. We've been living under it now for 170 years. We know of what we're talking about. And does it have its challenges? Yeah, it does. Faith is hard. Faith is hard. But I'm telling you, God's making us into a supernatural people, and it's incredible what God is beginning to do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I pray that eyes are open so that they can see the true miracle power of God that he's doing here in this place. Praise the Lord. Got another question. Let's talk about it.
All right. Let's go to this one. Pretty simple, short. Why do we try to make a point of being different?
Well, some of us don't have to try too hard. Some of us, it's a lot easier to be. We wake up out, yes. Get up out of bed and put our feet down, and we're just different.
That's true. But at the same time, during services, you do talk about being different and separate a lot.
Well, let me.
And some people don't want to be different.
Let me just say this. I'm the one here sitting answering the questions along with the two of you. This kind of question is hard for me. Let me tell you why. Because it is such, to me, when I read the Word of God, every part of the Word of God is telling people to be different. It's hard for me to pick out one little spot because it's the entire Word of God. But if you go to Joshua. And go read where God says to him, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do wonders amongst you. Well, you know, we think of being sanctified, literally it means to be separate. And we think of being sanctified as separating ourselves as you know, well, you're going to be here and I'm going to be here. And that's a part of it. But there, a part of separation is looking and being so different than everyone else that no one can mistake that you're the chosen of God, that you are the covenant people of God. Separate yourselves. You should, you know, we like to talk a lot here about the prophetic church and that's what God has called us to do. And if you look through the Word of God, even all the way up through John the Baptist, if you look through the Word of God, God's prophets were always required to look different, to act different, to wear different clothing, to eat differently. Sometimes they had to sleep different. They were different. The prophetic, the remnant church that we're talking about, that 7,000 of Elijah, that 1% of the 1%, it's a prophetic church is what it is. And they are required to look differently, even than the other Christians. That's hard for some people to accept. I always go back to Jeremiah and the Rechabites. We always talk about we want to be the modern-day Rechabites. But the Rechabites, when you're again, you're talking about the nation of Judah. And in Judah, it was supposed to all be millions of God's people, but they had at this time broken the covenant of God. And God, through Jeremiah, found this little group of people called the Rechabites, this little family of people called the Rechabites. And because of something their fathers many years before had said, they had settled in their heart that they were going to be different, that they were going to live different. They were going to grow, get their food differently. They were going to be different than everyone else. They weren't going to drink a strong drink. They were going to live in a certain place. They said, we're going to be different just for the point of showing everybody that we're different because our fathers told us to do this. And Jeremiah, when literally everything was falling down around God's people and destruction was happening, Jeremiah called them in. And again, you can go read the scripture for yourself. But he asked some questions and there was a little bit of a conversation. But in the end, Jeremiah said to them, he said, because you have done these things and listened to what your father said, because you've been different, because you've done this, he said, you will never lack to have a man standing before the Lord. That's a powerful, powerful prophetic promise. But it's because they decided we're going to be different. That is a principle in God's word, that God's remnant people, they're going to be different. They're going to look differently. They're going to talk differently. They're going to, you know, again, we don't have any prescribed way, you know, at least we don't have this large plan of things that we've determined to do, but we have determined that when God speaks, we're going to obey it. And when God says to look a certain way, to dress a certain way, to eat a certain way, to live a certain way, we're going to do it. Not so that we can be some crazy group of people that say, oh, well, we're going to let our hair go, you know, we're going to let our hair grow down to our rears, you know, just so that's not what we're doing. We're following the prophetic word of God so that we can get into and walk in the supernatural. God requires people to be different in every way if he's going to allow them into the supernatural. Yes.
One of the things we're basically saying in all of that is that there's more than one purpose, one specific narrowed down purpose to being separate. And the two broad ones that immediately come to my mind, we've kind of already hit on them, but number one is being separate and different for the purpose of everybody in the world to see us stand out. Amen. As people who serve God the supernatural way, but also that we want to make a point, not by anything specific, but just being different, make a point to stand out to God himself so he sees that we're making a point that we are the ones who want to be closer to him, whatever it takes, like we mentioned during the last question, whatever it takes.
Being different disciplines your flesh, and disciplining your flesh, that pleases the Lord,
and it
helps you to be open to a supernatural life. It's the only way to be open to really leading a supernatural life is disciplining your flesh more and more each day.
Amen. Well, this, what I'm about to say, and then we'll get on to the next question, but what I'm about to say maybe speaks more to the first question than this question, but I'm going to use it, and it's really an answer for all of it and why we do everything. But Jesus gave a parable, and in this parable, he said that there was this man that was out looking for precious things, And it says he found what he called a pearl of great price. And it says it was so costly that he went and sold everything he had just to buy this one pearl. He sold everything he had. Now, people interpret that scripture in many different ways to fit their religion, to fit their theology. But to overlook the simple fact of what Jesus said he went and he gave up everything he had because he knew what he was getting back in return was priceless. It was when the Bible uses in a parable form or in a story form words like priceless, what it's saying is, this is the supernatural. Pay attention. We're talking about the supernatural. When it uses things like priceless, it's or eternal, like this eternal covenant with the Rechabites, it's talking about the supernatural. Those are supernatural words. That's why the Bible uses that. And when Jesus said this is something that he knew was priceless, he said, I'll do anything to get it. That's what God is looking for today. For if you want to be a supernatural remnant, if you want to be a supernatural person, a spirit person, which is what we were born to be. We weren't born to be flesh people. We were born to be spirit people. Jesus said, he said, the flesh profits nothing. That's what we were born to be. And if you're going to want to be a part of this remnant that we get on here week after week and we talk about, you have to be willing to be like that man and say, God, I surrender everything. And not only do I surrender, I willingly give it, not at the altar of my own priesthood that I've created for myself and my family and in my home, Lord God, but to and under your anointing, I surrender where I can't get it. I can't take it back. I can't take it back. Now, that answers the first question, but it also answers the second question, because that's how you're different. That's how you're different. When people see that you're willing to do that, then they say that person's either crazy or they're supernatural. And we're in the business of making people think that we're crazy, but then they're going to see that we're really supernatural,
right?
Because they're seeing the signs that God is doing. And I tell people all the time, if you come here and you sit here for give it 6 or 9 months, you're going to see so much supernatural. You might run away screaming, but you're going to run away screaming saying, I saw miracles.
Uh-huh.
And so, okay, now I start preaching. So praise the Lord. Let's go to another question.
All right. I'm struggling with the idea of God being a lawgiver. Didn't Jesus make it so that we're not under any kind of law? But you said that we need to seek the commandments on Wednesday night. That sounds like bondage to me.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for asking a question that takes about 3 hours to talk about. I appreciate it.
Felt like that.
Thanks a lot. Again, I got our producer Nat over here making gestures to me.
The 5-minute answer.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Give me 30 seconds for something I could talk about for 30 days. Well, let me just say this again. I'm going to refer everybody to the messages, to the book up here, because it has a lot of that in it. But let me just say this, what I've said recently. People have a very bad misunderstanding of the law and what that means. First of all, God has an eternal law that's in heaven. When he gave the law to Moses, when he gave Moses the idea of the tabernacle, he was showing him a shadow of what was going on in heaven. Moses could not build what was going on in heaven. Moses could not speak what was going on in heaven. But he was speaking and building a shadow of what was going on in heaven. So the first point I want to make is this, is that God is a judge. He is a lawgiver. That doesn't change just because Jesus came. He is eternally a judge and a lawgiver. Does he do it with love? Absolutely. But the Bible says God is a just God. The Bible, by and large, is a book of law. It is a book of of things that are regarding law things.
A lot of words are legal terms in the Bible.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you. It is a book of legal terms. That's not bad. That why we've made that bad, I don't know. Now, again, now let me just go and kind of clarify that a little bit more. But I wanted to say first, again, that God, you can't change the fact that God is a judge and a lawgiver. He is just. Everything he does from the beginning of time for God, everything God does is with the idea of I'm a just God. We get our word justice from that word just.
Yes.
He is a just God. Everything he does is based on his law. Everything. And he can't break. Once he sets the law, he doesn't break it. And he doesn't change it. He set a law in motion at the beginning of time, and he will never, ever, ever, ever break his own law. Never, ever, ever. Now, in the middle of God being a lawgiver and being a just God and being a judge, in the middle of human time, he came forward in the time of Moses, and he says, okay, I'm going to give you this law. And this is not my heavenly law, but this is a law that I'm going to give that is going to help get you to Jesus. It's going to bridge the gap to get you to my son Jesus, because in the flesh, there's no way that you can be righteous. You can't be righteous. You can do everything you want to do, but you can never make yourself righteous. And this law that I'm giving you is a law that is going to bridge the gap to get you to Jesus. And then once Jesus came, he fulfilled that law. He finished it. He says, no longer does man have to strive to have some form of righteousness with God. If they believe on me, I'm making them righteous because of my blood. My blood is the final answer to their righteousness. It's done. He finished it. That law is gone. It stands as being complete. It is nailed to the cross. It is completed because we can never be righteous on our own. But that doesn't mean the God of law and the God of justice isn't still the God of law and the God of justice. That doesn't mean that God still doesn't have a heavenly law. The law of righteousness has been taken care of. But you know what still stands? The law of holiness. The law of holiness still stands. And it so much stands that this is what the Bible says in both the Old Testament and the New Testament for those people that matters to. It's all the Word of God. But for those that it matters to in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Word of God says this. God said, be holy, for I am holy. He's not going to tell you to do something that you can't do. Now, does it take the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But he's not going to tell you to do something that is impossible for you to do. What he was saying was, the law of righteousness is done. But I've got another law, and it's the law of holiness. And I'm telling my people that I want you to be holy just because I, in the same way I am holy. We've been talking here about the beauty of holiness. That's holiness you can see. That's what the beauty of, go read the scriptures about the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness is referring to holiness you can see. God wouldn't ask you to do something that you couldn't do. The law of righteousness is done. And it is taking care of its salvation. But after you're saved, God requires the law of holiness. And that is why anointed prophets and teachers and ministers are necessary. Because God speaks to them and says, I'm going to help have you teach my people how to live in this law of holiness. Mm-hmm. And people get saved and they say, I don't need any man to help me be saved. Absolutely. You know, listen, it absolutely helps if you have someone preaching the word of salvation to you. But technically, you can be sitting in the middle of a desert by yourself and give your heart to the Lord. Absolutely. But we're not talking about the law of righteousness. And the law of holiness, God says, I've set up this system. I've set up a kingdom. And in my kingdom, I've given you my prophets and my teachers and my ministers. I've given them to teach you how to walk in this holy path that pleases me. Be holy, for I am holy. So when we get up and we talk about the law, when we get up and we talk about the commandments, when we get up and we say things and we say, hey, God is still a lawgiver and a judge, we're not technically talking about the law of Moses, which is what everybody immediately, oh, no. Don't talk about the law of Moses. I'm turning you off as soon as you talk. We're not talking about the law of Moses. It's good to learn about the law of Moses because it is a form of God revealing things that he wants. But there's a higher law, and it is the law of holiness that God says. He says, be holy. You can't get more lawgiver than that. Be holy, for I am holy. This is what I want my remnant to be and to do. Praise the Lord.
All right. The producer's telling me that we have time for one more question. All right.
You mean I don't have time for a break first?
All right. Well, this next question is one of my personal favorites, actually. It says, as we head into a politically charged next several months,
oh boy,
it's a good time to find out the answer to what many people are asking. You often say that you aren't a political person. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I'm going to be very brief with this because, again, I could go on and on and on and on with this. But the church is not called to be a political organization. And I'm not saying that because of the whole separation of church and state thing. I don't care about that's man coming up
man
with stuff.
Invented.
I don't care about all that. That's just a way of trying to be fair, and fair is a man thing. That's not a God thing. I don't say it for that reason. But the church, the prophetic church of God, has got to be able to stand back and be able to point the finger of judgment of God to the Democrats, to the Republicans, to the independents, to the Tories, are there still Tories? I don't know.
The Whigs and Tories.
Whigs and Tories.
They've got to be able to stand up and point their finger in the same way that God's prophets did in the past. They've got to be able to stand up and say, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And I, you know, again, people don't like this, but I don't particularly care how one senator or representative or I don't even care what they think. I don't even care. I don't care. I don't care about any of it. I could care less. What I care about is when a man of God stands up and says, hear the word of the Lord. You're killing babies and God is going to bring judgment. That's what I care about. I care about what the church says. I care about what God's people say. How they vote and what the laws say on those things is meaningless to me. I'm looking, and I believe God, more importantly, is looking for a remnant church to stand up like Elijah. Because the remnant church is an Elijah church. And Elijah stood up amongst all the people that were supposed to be serving God and all the false prophets. He stood up and he said, hear the word of the Lord. God's going to send his fire down because you're not doing right before the Lord. That's what God is looking for his church today. He's looking for his church to be, we talked about separation, to be so separate and so not a political creation, but a supernatural creation. That everyone can look and say, we know what this side is saying, we know what this side is saying, but this is what God is saying.
Right.
This is what God, and you can't do that if you choose political sides. You can't do that. You cannot be a prophetic voice, but because the church has been without true power, oh, I know there's been false prophets getting up, you know, thus saith the Lord this, thus saith the Lord that. I see, you know, I kind of joked on Sunday. I said, oh, you know, I see the blood flowing down here and on this building and this. And, you know, all the false prophets get up and say all this stuff. But in reality, the church has been without true power for so long that they were forced to become a political organization to get anything done. But that's not what God intended. God wants his church separate and to be able to say, all of you are not seeking God in righteousness. To the point of that now, again, listen, you can turn me off if you want to. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking. to the point of that they've settled on and somehow come up with the idea of, you know what? We don't care if the person that we chose for president is an adulterer. We don't care that he's a foul-mouthed nitwit. We don't care. We don't care. But we're doing God's work. And that just makes everything – it doesn't matter what he does because we're doing God's work. Because they've so lost their power that they're not able to say, hey, both of you are no longer are not doing God's will. They've lost their supernatural power. But we aim to get it back. We're going to find, God is going to find his remnant in this country and on this earth. He's going to find his remnant. And they're going to be a remnant that speaks to all political sides and says, hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, and on top of that, we are making the point, I mentioned this in a Remnant 101 a couple of weeks ago, that God is not limited by what political side has any form of power. God, number one, he controls all of that. So our job, along with what Dad said, is to just trust, no matter what, that God's will is going to be done, and it's up to us whether or not we're going to make a point to be a part of that. No matter who's in power, no matter who's sitting in the White House, God is always in control, and he's not limited by what they do or what decisions that they make.
And let me just add this. People say, well, can't God use – he can use the Donald Trump if – God can use anyone. He can use a donkey. He can use anyone he wants
right.
to use.
That's right.
But that has nothing to do with what the church does. That has nothing to do with what the church is supposed to be doing. And I'm pointing to myself because I'm a part of God's church, just like I hope you are.
Yes.
That's not what the church does. If God chooses to use Donald Trump, then praise God. But that doesn't mean that you back Donald Trump. That means you let God do what he needs to do. And again, I'm not saying that because I choose no sides. I choose God's side.
Right.
That's who I choose. I choose God's side. That's the only, and I want no one to know. Listen, people here will tell you. They say, well, what do you think politically? They don't know what I think politically. Because as a prophet of God, they need to know that I speak for I speak what God says. And I speak to all sides. Whatever the word of God is.
Right.
Whatever the word of God is. And so until that time that God is in control, and you could call it a theocracy, or you could call it the kingdom of heaven, or you could call it whatever you want, thy kingdom come, whatever you want to call it, you call it. But until that time, this guy's going to speak the word of God. That's what he's going to speak. Because that's, and say, well, but are we supposed to pray? Yeah. Pray. Pray that God's
Absolutely.
Will is done. Absolutely pray for them.
The Bible says to pray.
You know what I pray for the president and the former president, Donald Trump? You know what I pray? I say, God, they need to be saved. That's what I pray. I say, God, they need to be saved. Okay, now that we've stepped all in it, I guess it's time to end. praise the Lord. Well, Benji, one more time. Remind everybody when our services are.
All right, Sunday, 11 a.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., City on a Hill Church in Loganville. Social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, X. We've got something going on every day of the week when we don't have our services on Sunday and Wednesday at 8 o'clock on every other weekday. We've got something going on, Devotion, Remnant 101, this podcast, which you can also listen to on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. Talk to Siri and Alexa. Tell them to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast, like I said earlier, and be here on Sunday to hear about some massive miracle stories.
Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you again for being here with us. Share the podcast. Let them know that there are people that are seeking to be the remnant of God. And the remnant by its very nature is small. It's small. And I'm going to go back to what I've been preaching. And people, again, they don't like it. But the Bible, Jesus said it himself. He said there are few who find it. Few. Praise the Lord. I hope the word of God has touched your heart today. Reach out to us. Send us a message on any of our platforms. Reach out and give us your prayer needs. We want to hold you up, but I encourage you to come see us, because the Spirit of the Lord, when it gets flowing here in a mighty way, things are happening. Mm-hmm. Come see us. God bless you.